Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
If we have to read some Bible verses, please read it out loud so that my microphone can catch it. If you don't have that microphone. Let's pray. Father, I plead the blood of Jesus and I thank you for this hour, Lord. You are the Word, Jesus, the Word of the living God. We pray, Lord, that you will speak and help us to understand. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Praise the Lord. I noticed that we have only three questions, which means the others have not really written questions. And I look through these questions, they are still like, tell us more on this, tell us more on that, tell us more on that. So there's still more. Actually, we have not ended it yet. So when I say questions, does not mean this is the end of the series. The series almost have no end if you read, want to talk about it. From the question, it's good that I asked for the question today. That's what comes to my head. I didn't intend to do question and answer today. I just wanted to gather the questions and keep on writing the questions, because it's more or less a talk more on this area, which is good. That will make us to know what to talk more on. Now, I plan today to just actually go into, I listed something last week, and these are the areas that I listed. I listed compatibility, understanding, communication, then love. We're going to talk about love, the agape love itself, and then the last part of it, which is romance, which may say, well, that's really not to be talked about, where we have little children here, but this is not going to be any romantic romance. We're just going to talk about it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because you won't believe that even in the household of God, there are problems. Praise the Lord. Even in the household of God, we are not expected to love. We are not expected to be in all, when you say love, I'm even thinking of loving even too much. How much is too much? Even in eating, how much is too much? Even in romance, how much is too much? If you want to be holy, what does the Bible say? You may realize that the Bible still also have some things to say. Of course, the Bible also said that we should do everything in moderation. So there's moderation, but that is when I say we need to talk a little bit about the word romance, which everybody knows what it means when it comes to husband and wife. And there are questions here that I won't really talk on these questions, because they are simply telling me talk more on this, talk more on that. But let me go on to what I want to talk about a little bit today. Because I want to talk, starting from a little bit from understanding one another as spouses. And then from there, perhaps I'll go right into communication and talk more on communication or love, whichever one the Lord leads me. But one or two things I want to mention a little bit further when it comes to understanding. Because even every married counselor say we need to understand one another. I mean, husband understanding your wife, wife understanding also. Actually, what we mean is know that there are differences between male and female. That's what we really want to talk about and say understanding these differences. Know that there are differences between male and female. We sometimes don't think the same way. Sometimes I wonder that where is this word coming from? Where is this thought coming from? We don't think the same way sometimes. And you may say, well, we should be thinking the same way. But we are coming from, like I said to some months ago, we are coming from different backgrounds. That also shaping our thinking, our thought faculties. But even other than that, there are other things that are different in between male and female. I mentioned last week, as I talked about how people dress quickly, and that is differences between male and female also. That if you don't understand it, you will aggravate yourself too much until the time you are angry, you are quarreling on simple things. It looks like simple things, but those are the things that cause aggravation because of the speed of getting ready to go out. So that's part of understanding that there are differences between male and female. Now, I'm going to point to some of the two things, three things I have heard people talk. Since I came to this country, I can tell you there are things I never knew until I married. Maybe because of my background, maybe you are different. Because of my background, because of how I was raised, we never talk about women having periods in my house. Period. I mean, I'm talking of the women period that everybody knows about, that they have monthly period. I never knew, not that I never heard about it, but I didn't know the detail of it. Now, those are things we say, well, and you are from Africa. Which part of Africa are you from? Because those are things we don't talk about. Not in my father's house. Now, Those are differences between male and female. That the male don't have these monthly things, but the female, they have it. But when I came to this country, I also heard some things on the radio from some of those preachers, that these periodical things that come monthly, that we think is just physical shedding of blood or something, purging of the womb, it also is connected with emotional trouble, emotional disturbance. Some people don't believe it. I know some people, they say, no, I don't have it. But I've heard about hot flashes, and people link it to sometimes some at a particular time the movement became moody. They may not be able to explain why. You may think something is wrong. But all of those are differences that maybe medical people, what are doctors? What are the doctors? Bro, you are a doctor, not so. Amen. Maybe the medical people can explain a little bit to us if you have studied this thing. I've heard it in this country that it is linked to some emotions. It may not be the changing of blood, maybe just some other almost peak thing that suddenly they became moody or the what they call hot flashes. But those are things men never experience. I'm generally experiencing. Of course, maybe we may also be angry once and not that they're not angry, but it may not be linked to things like that. But those are the other differences that we do not know much about. That we are learning because the doctor said so, or maybe some psychologist said so, I don't know. It may not be the doctors, maybe the psychologist. So that's why I say if the doctors that are here know more about this, whether there's a medical link to it, or it is just psychologists giving us some stories, I want them to confirm or deny this. But that is one of the things we have heard, that is a difference that makes, and when you say emotional, when you talk about hot flashes, angry for no reason or what, whatever, a little small thing will create that anger and you wonder what in the world is going on. This is what I've heard, and some people will know, that's not, nothing is going on, it's your fault. That's what somebody said. No, it's not this, what they say, it's because you say something, but something created this, but it's why is it constantly coming, why is it periodically coming? And that's why some doctors or some of these psychologists are saying it is part of the hormones that God has created in this female that is creating this. Not part of what I have, the particular season in life, things, other things happen. Okay, so we have to know those differences. Perhaps if you make it to happen, dwell with them with knowledge, what the Bible says. With that knowledge, it makes you to begin to exercise what? Patience. Amen? And mercy. If you know some of these things, that there are some differences, that make you to be careful in how you utter your mouth, you open your mouth, and things like that. Another thing that I also have heard, which I didn't know until I came to this country, is what people call, they say, means this happen to men. Because it's midlife crisis. We don't know what they will call it in Africa. Maybe they don't have these are names we have in America. What is midlife crisis? But it's kind of something that I when men get to a particular age, maybe in their 40s or something, they begin to feel left out, left behind, and they are, and when you begin to feel like that, what will happen to you? Somehow your attitude may change. It doesn't have to, but they begin to change. And some people begin to take it on their family. Those are things that we don't know much about, but we are hearing about this in this country, and the psychologists are telling us about this. And they say, why are you listening to these people that are saying this? Because they are saying this because of observation. What are we observing? Why are we talking about marriage? Why is there pandemonium, quarreling and fighting? It's by we observe that this thing is being also in the household of faith. Why are they quarreling? The Bible should have said to them, why am I seeing this in my own area? Why are you seeing this in your own family? This quarreling, a little bit of anger, a little bit of strife, and this is also happening in the world because we are human beings. And the psychologists are telling us that these things happen. This is what we call midlife crisis that happens even to men. At the higher time of their life, they begin to want something different, or their mind is beginning to change. That could begin to create some frustration, perhaps anger, or self-esteem. They are losing self-esteem, or they are ashamed of what they have accomplished in life. When people get into that cycle, just think about it. If you begin to feel that I have not accomplished anything, if anybody can fall into that, but it comes after you have been young, you never think about that because you are pursuing life. Then you come a point, you will see that what you are pursuing to is not coming. Let's think about it right now. How many of us have been thinking we are going to be lifting the dead, healing the sick, performing wonders since the 70s? How many of us? And have you been doing that? Like I saw in the book of Isaiah, he said we have not brought revival. Well, see, if the prophet can be said that they have not brought revival with all the struggles that Israel was to create, and say revival has not come, we can say the same thing. We have not brought this revival that we have waited and prayed and fasted. Where is this revival? That alone is like a frustration for man. Think of that if somebody is trying to have a goal, I want to become this, and in life you want to have this, and you want to, and then you come to after your 40s, you look around and see that, wait, do you know that guy was 39, and look at what he has done, look at that guy, he just left college, look at what he has done, and look at that guy, he said he's now hitting it, he's now a millionaire, he started that company over there. And men begin to look around them and deny or realize that there can be an emotional situation. That is what they call midlife crisis in America. We don't have a name for it in Africa because we never think of it that way. But it happens. I have seen people that committed suicide in Africa because they look at what they are trying to build. It looks like they couldn't build it. I remember when I was little, a little cousin of ours, that was what they said. Why he committed suicide. That was the only thing that I remember when I was about 10 years old, and they were crying about this man, and afterward they said that was why he committed suicide. He had a house he never completed, and everything was not going on. And well, in America we say that was the midlife crisis. Okay. So what we are saying, there is not to have understanding that many things can create all this agitation, things in the flesh, in the blood, in the hormones, that if you don't let this word, the word of God, rule you, if you don't let this Bible rule you, you will be caught into all those snares, because the devil uses those as snares. Whether it's coming from the women's periodic emotional disturbances, or it's coming from the midlife crisis of man, if you don't let the Bible rule you, you will be in serious trouble. So that is why we are preaching the Bible, that whatever is our trouble, whatever is going on in your life, in your environment, in your circumstances, let the word of God be your guide. Because the Bible has answer to everything. Whether it is anger, the Bible has answer to it. Whether it is just frustration, life does not look like it's where you want to be, the Bible has answer for it. These are all the fruits that we have been talking about that we've got to bring back to our memory. Instead of saying, oh me, instead of feeling sorry for yourself that I never get this done, that before you know it, you are now irritating, you are irritable. Nobody can get to you this way because you are feeling sad for yourself, you are feeling ashamed for yourself. Remember what the Bible said, godliness with contentment is great gain, because we brought nothing to this world and it is certain we can carry nothing out of it. Those are the Bible verses that you just have to keep reminding yourself to answer some of these problems. Or you say, well, I don't know why I'm angry, this baby, pour water, it's just water, then you are getting upset, you are saying that everything is not upset. You are angry for no small, small things. Why don't you remember what the Bible says? Gentleness. All of those things, well, I'm tired, I'm frustrated. I just clean this place up and somebody messes it up again, and maybe it's actually something else that you said this day, the day that it happened is really what is the cause. It's not because this thing is messing the floor. So think about that and say, look for the Bible verses to comfort you, to rest upon. Take your mind away from that thing and rest upon the Bible verse that will solve it. So this understanding is going to be a critical thing we need in our lives, because this is what we need to keep our harmony, to keep our senses, is what we want to keep our sanity in this world as we wait for the Son of God. And these are a few things I want to point out. I wrote three things down. When you are in that type of emotional situation, male or female, one thing is prayer. Sometimes go outside and pray for yourself. Or if you are the one that is being victimized, that is, somehow somebody is beating you down or angry at you or talking harsh at you, maybe you want to step aside and go pray for that somebody. Amen. Because if, let's say the man comes from office and somehow whatever happened in the office, whatever happened on the road, he's upset, he's angry about himself, nothing seems to, he's becoming melancholy, is another word he used, depressed. And he came home and trying to take it on the kids, trying to take it on the wife, and you feel that something like that is going on. If you are sensitive, you've got to be sensitive in that situation. Step aside to the corner and pray for that man. And the same way with the woman. Sometimes you feel like, gee, what is wrong with him? If you want to fire back, and that's what the devil wants. He just wants you to fire back so that it becomes a fight. Okay? But you don't want to do that. That's why it's a prayer. The same with the man. You come home, you see your wife is upset. It's all your fault. You came back home too late. It's all your fault. You didn't discipline these children. And pointing fingers. See? Before you begin to yell back, maybe you want to step aside and pray. Pray. Then remember patience. Remember long suffering. All of those fruits. We are ready. Let's read it again. Let's go again to Galatians chapter 5. And just read those small things before we go on to the next one. And remember mercy. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 22. The fruits of the Spirit. Somebody get it, please read it for us.
Temperance.
Against self. Start from verse 22. Verse 22.
So the fruit of the Spirit
is love,
joy,
peace,
long-suffering,
gentleness,
goodness,
faith. And go on the next one.
Meekness,
temperance.
Against God,
there is no. Praise the Lord. So those are the fruits we've got to constantly remind ourselves of. It. You may say, I know all of these things. Why are you telling us again? We know these things. What did the Lord Jesus say? If you know these things, happy are you when you do them. Welcome to all the wars and the strivings because you forget to do them. We regularly forget to bring it to pass. Almost like what our brother said. He said something just now. He said, the lion see trouble and wanted to run. And then he remembered, hey, I'm a lion, I shouldn't be running. The same thing, you could remember, you can run into your house and somebody is accusing you for this and you get upset and you start yelling at one another. Then you remember, hey, who I am, who are you? Remember whom you are, that's all. When you remember that, then bring it back to mind and say, as you exercise patience here, well, it's already too late, it's not too late. It's not too late. All you need to do is to go back and say, you know something, I'm sorry that I won't say anything worse. But some people, I'm sorry, it's like a taboo. They never really want to say it, but that is also wrong. You don't want to make, I'm sorry, look as if it's a forbidding word from your mouth. I'm sorry, you want to go back and say, I want to express that fruit of meekness, long-suffering, patience. Yeah, well, we are already getting at one another, it's too late. No, it's not too late. Just go back and start and say, I'm sorry, and start all over again. And if again, so yes, no law. That is what I'm pointing out in this exposition. Now, I want to go into love. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We all know this chapter. Chapter 13 is the chapter on divine love. Now, it is different from the love that everybody knows about that makes people say, I love you, I want to marry you. It is completely different from that law, but that is what they have in mind. But what God is having in, as having Apostle Paul list for us here, is far deeper than that. And we're going to look at it verse by verse. Because many times when people say, I love you, I want to marry you, actually they are only thinking of themselves, what they are going to get out of that marriage. But when you see what Apostle Paul is saying here, according to the scriptures, this is a selfless love. Selfless love. He said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, which we can use the word love. Say, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profited me nothing. The love suffereth long. Now, just read in the other verse, it said, these are all the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long suffering. And here it says, love suffereth long. It is that same suffering long that will make you to be patient before you blow up. And is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Love does not behave itself unseemly. It seeketh not our own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Now every verse there you can analyze and analyze and analyze. You can, I want you to be looking at yourself. The CD I gave out, this man made some points that I wanted to point out here. He said when we were talking about love here, it's very easy for people to be saying, you see, my spouse does not love me like you that we're saying. You forget about that, you should be saying, do you love your spouse as this scripture says? Forget about whether you don't get it. Say, but am I getting it? Am I giving it out this way? Instead of saying, am I getting it like this? You should be getting it. Be more concerned with what you are giving than what you are receiving. That's what I'm saying. Be more concerned with how you are giving this out than how you are receiving it before you begin to point fingers. It does not seek our own. What does that mean? It doesn't seek your own. Well, if you're going to seek your own, you are going to say, unless you do it this way, no way. And we've talked about that, when we talk about the earth, I say, well, God actually put order in the earth because there will be a time when there will be differences. God knows that there will be differences when he made man and woman and join them together. He knows there will always be difference of opinions. You can even be strongly opinionated, but the Bible said there will be order. That's why he has said in his word, is Adam's mission, and the woman was given to Adam to help him out. But when you become like as if, no, if you are not doing it my way, you are not going to do it at all, and it's going to be what I suggested, then you are going to be proud in that way. This love seeketh not our own. That is the time where submission comes, when the two have different opinions, that's where you say, okay, you're going to go your way. Why is it that way? Because there can never be two captains in a boat. Think about it that way. There is a captain, he's giving the mission to take this boat all the way to China. And there's always many ways to get to China, you have to remember. Even in a sea that looks this way, there's always many ways. But you can decide and say, I'm going to go so many degrees north, and then go south. And the other person may say, no, you don't have to go that many degrees north. Just 5 degrees north is enough, but go south this way. I say, well, this is how I want to be. No. You can argue that way. If you say, well, if you won't take my offer, go ahead and let him do what he wants to do if he is the captain. But if you grab and you are, I'm going to wrestle this boat from your hand, it becomes what? It becomes wrestling. And that is what is not acceptable, not even in the ministry, not even in any place, not even in the household of God. Because when you begin to say you are wrestling the steering wheel from this fellow, shows that there are two captains right now in the boat. And any boat that is going like that is going to capsize. They say, well, why don't you just let the other person just take over? If you want to do that, go ahead and take over. But if somebody else is the head of this whole show, and is going to say, who is responsible? Okay, think of what these presidents do. The presidents always delegate. You can delegate. There's nothing wrong in delegation. You can delegate and say, okay, my wife, you be in charge of all of this, but you are still responsible. Remember that. President Ronald Reagan was a good example. He delegated everything and he practically did nothing. And then they started accusing this man that he didn't do something right. And he said, I will stand by it. He's the one that's going to be responsible for it. Remember that. So if it is delegation, it's fine. But if they are wrestling the boat out of your hand and you just say, okay, go ahead and do it, that means you take off your hand from it. That is not what God is. God is still going to be saying, I told you to go ahead and you are being influenced from you. What am I going to do? What am I going to do in this situation? Should I have to beat this fellow down until he let me do it? No. Report to the boss, to the one that is giving you to put you in charge of this thing. That is the only way. Apostle Paul said something, he said, deliver some people unto Satan. What do you think he meant? These are Christians that don't see. He delivered them unto Satan because of some things like we are the wrestling with the authority. We don't want to wrestle with the authority that God has laid down. We have to be careful. So that is one of the things we want to point out. Here he said also, he said, you don't seek your own if you have that love. It's not easily provoked. Well, you may say, what about this emotion you just mentioned? That this emotion may come, but we have to remember. If we remember this, then we try to put it under. What do you think it means when you say, I die daily? It means our body may have this emotion, but you're going to die daily. So that you are not easily provoked. Prayer, pray for yourself, pray in the blood of Jesus. That is how, and everything in the word of God. Apply the word of God, so that's how you die daily. If you say, well, I'm somebody that's always temperament. I always get angry today. That's my nature. Well, you got to let the word of God rule that nature. And then he said, he thinketh no evil. He rejoiced not in iniquity, but rejoiced in the truth. Now, this last few verses are also very important. He said, love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Now, when we look at this small characteristics of divine love, what we can see how it applies specifically in the household of husband and wife, when you talk about how does it apply. There are many things that goes on between spouses that some of these Bible verses, if we look at it and say, if I love like this, maybe this particular situation will not have occurred. Think of believing all things. Where do you think suspicion comes from? Accusation. If I say this child and say, did you do what I tell you to do? And he said, yes. And I said, I don't believe you. Now, I just told the fellow he's lying. Not so. But the Bible said, love believeth all things. He said, well, you lied to me the last time, that's why I don't believe me anymore. Well, you have to get the evidence. Make sure you have enough evidence to be able to say, you have lost that trust, that I can't believe, I can't trust you. Or your daughter goes out and you begin to think maybe she's going out on something that you don't approve. Love believeth all things until you prove them wrong. So remember that these are these scriptures that you have to say, if I want to set my heart at rest, this Bible must be ruling my life. Am I believing all things? Am I hoping all things? Hope in this case is saying that I'm expecting the prayer I'm praying for this person to take root. And prayer, unless you don't believe in prayer, if you say, I'm praying for my family, I'm praying for my wife, I'm praying for my husband, sometimes you may get upset, of course. You get angry. But remember who you are. Amen? Remember who you are. When anger comes, when the emotion comes, and you almost say something negative, remember who you are. If you have to even apologize. I'm sorry I said that. This, and children have said that. I already prayed that you are not going to turn out wrong. What should I then say? You are turning out wrong. I'm contradicting what I just said. There's something that somebody said. He said, when the Lord Jesus Christ met Peter was somebody that perhaps would be wishy-washy, that would be shaken. He said, the Lord called him, thou art Peter, the rock. He said, upon this rock I will build my church. And the Bible actually said, Peter, that was said to be a rock, means he should be solid, not a wavering person, or today he denied Christ. But see, God believed in him. And he came back and became the chief apostle that could stand before the Sanhedrin and say, you crucified the Messiah. Okay? But what that man was pointing out was, He continued to believe in Peter until the end. God believed in Peter, and that is what he's saying, that you hope for what you have prayed for and believe it. Peter made some errors. He called on the Lord. He talked to Jesus like Satan. God said, get behind me, Satan. But that does not change that he still called him the rock. And Peter denied Christ and said, when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. But in the end, he became a rock indeed. So what we are saying then is, if you have said, I have prayed, believing God for my family, for my wife, for my husband, that this thing will work out the way I have prayed, then leave it to the hand of the Lord. When something occurs and you almost say something wrong, remember, you are then apologize. Turn, reverse what you just said and say, hey, I shouldn't have said that when I have prayed for this child, or when I have prayed for this wife, or when I have prayed for this husband, I shouldn't be saying this again, because it's nullifying what I just prayed about. It's nullifying what I was confessing. Hope all things, believe all things. Believe the best in people, that's what we're saying. Believe the best in people. Hope for your prayers to be answered, that it will work out as I have prayed, and when things look like it's not working, just hang in there, because that's what faith is. We are supposed to be children of faith. That is what faith is. Love beareth all things. Love believeth all things. Love hopeth all things. And love endureth all things. We are going to have to endure one another. Amen. Some people said, let me point to a Bible verse that always amazes me. When the Lord Jesus Christ told the apostles in Matthew chapter 19, he said, this is the situation between man and his wife. No divorce, that's what he said. Except it be for fornication. What did the apostles reply? These are apostles. These are the people that are following. He said, his disciples said, if the case be so between a man and his wife, it's not good to marry. I mean, they were pessimistic about marriage. If that is the case, well, they're not talking about, oh, the fornication is too much, but they don't marry. They are saying, if it's only fornication, which means all the other things are the reasons that they wanted to separate. And Christ said, though all of those other things are not reasons, except fornication. But see, those are the problem of the household of every household. Is the fighting on this and calling on that and this and that. That has nothing to do with fornication. And Christ said, it is only fornication that is the only legal reason, or the only way God looks at it, the only way, the only reason why anybody can separate. But without that, then the apostle said, it's not worthy. But God didn't say, because of that, you don't have to do it. God is still saying, God created this thing, and God is commanding us that we've got to work this thing out. We have got to work this thing out. And why did I point to that part? What I was pointing to is because when we say, endure it all things, that's why I point to that part. If you are going to see that, well, this is all these other things that is causing trouble, that's causing quarrels, that's causing problems, you've got to endure it, otherwise you will be saying just like the apostles, it's not worth these things. Christ said this is the only reason for separation, but what about all this fighting, all this quarreling, all this disrespect, all this rudeness, all things you can point out? God will be what? Endure it all things. Endure it all things. Otherwise, you are not going to be able to do it. And what we endure things is a love. Which kind of love is this? Is the love that we are talking about is God's kind of love. You don't think God is enduring us? Do you think God is enduring us, or you think we are there as Christians? We are not there as Christians. God is patiently enduring us. So why do you think, because we are progressing or something? Because God believes he can get the best out of us. He can get us where he promised to get us to. And they say, well, maybe we'll get there one day. So people are dying, they are not going there yet. They are passing on, they are not there yet. They never get to that fullness of the stature of Christ. But God is enduring all things for his election. So if God is enduring, he said that we also should be enduring all these things for the purpose of obeying his word, fulfilling his word. Love endureth all things. It's what the Bible is telling us. So whatever we are suffering, whatever we are enduring, remember, you should enjoy it for the word of God's sake, appear in. So sometimes we may have to just live by enduring all things, because that is what the divine love is saying, enduring one another. In fact, he said, bearing one another, bearing with one another. There will be some anger, there will be some wrath, there will be some confrontation. Then you may have to endure all things for the sake of the word of the living God. That's what I want to point out. Now, the last part we said, there are three things. He said, faith, hope, and charity, love. Now, hope will lead you. We hope for something. It will lead us to faith. Faith will lead us to love. And when you get to love, you are already there. Love, God himself is love. And that is the only thing that is going to rapture the saints. We have talked about love is going to rapture the saints. The love of what? The love for Christ is going to rapture us. But if we say I love Christ and we still can't show the love, the same love for one another, how much more for husband and wife that should be loving one another more than just say loving the brethren? Then when are we going to go and meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the rapture? Are we ready? Are we ready to say, well, yeah, I thought he loves me, I thought she loves me, I thought I love him, I thought I love her. And what's going on here? Look at what love says. Because this is what the Bible is calling love. All this enduring all things, that is love. All this bearing all things, that is what he's saying love as. He said that it opened all things, it believed all things. And it's not puffed up, it's patient, it's kind. All of those small tangibles, or what they call intangibles. These are the things that the Bible calls love. And that is what God is looking for. The fruits of these things is what God is looking for that is going to take us out of here. If we have it one towards another, starting from the household, individual household, individual unit, husband and wife and the children, then it will extend to the household of faith. Then it can go towards the Lord Jesus Christ. God. Here is what Apostle John wrote. How can you say you love God, whom you have not seen? I didn't write these things. And yet, you don't love your brother whom you see. Well, we always think of that of the brethren. But if you are quarreling and fighting and having confrontation in your household and you don't obey these scriptures that say, open the curtain, love it, love it, give it, enjoy it, you're not easily provoked, and you are not ready to even apologize, say, I'm sorry, when you know you have done something wrong, or you sense that you have hurt this man's feeling, or you've hurt that fellow spirit, you are not ready to be humble enough to apologize, and you say, oh, I love God. Where are all those meekness, where are all those gentleness, where are all those things that he's talking about that is going to rapture? These are the love. The love is the one that he's talking about here, is what Apostle Paul wrote down, the love that he says endureth all things, he beareth all things, he hopeth all things. That is the love he's talking about. He said you can be giving your money to everybody. You can even give your body to be born. You see, can do all this without love. So, say, well, if you love, you should be giving this. You should be giving money. Say, it's not even the giving. It is this other intangible that is really is qualifying as the love. The giving part of it will show that you can actually do the giving part without really having love. So, think about that and meditate on this chapter. This is a great chapter. But here is what John said. If I say I love, and I say I love God, I still can't love my own brother, my own sister. So where is the love? This is the word I can see. How can you say I love God when I cannot see? So let's think about that, and we need to pray. That's where I'm going to stop today, because I want to just let the divine love sink deep into our heart, and it's a old message we said, but we have to apply it into our household. Where do I say, where am I falling when it comes to divine love? Where am I missing it when it comes to divine love? It's easy to just say a lip service to divine love. But when you look at it, it's still a lip service. There's this, I don't know how many of us have heard about this. We all have read Psalm 51. Nothing. And we all have read where the last section of Psalm 51 said, all of this, all you that go there for this, go together in the spirit of divine love, pure love. Now, this Psalm 51 that we all had, we thought it was written by Charles Price. It was not written by Charles Price. It was written by a lady in 1600, a prophetess. And it was actually a summary of that lady's writing. Now, this woman also wrote almost a whole thesis in the same Revelation of Revelation that he described divine love, that Christ will continue to wait for that divine love until he can get it from the church. We may say it's coming soon, but he will wait until he get that pure love. So, don't be surprised if it does not come in your generation. In fact, I have looked and looked and looked and looked. I've preached a sermon from that of, I think it's Romans of 1 Corinthians 13, where Apostle Paul said, all that generation, they thought they are going to the promised land, and they all failed with them. And look at our generation. Many of us are started in the 70s, the Lord is coming soon. In fact, I remember writing in the 70s or in the 60s, I don't think the Lord will keep me here for like this for long. But the prophet said that he wanted to go away right now for me. You don't be surprised if the Lord does not come in a generation. Because I read that prophecy of this woman, I wrote that five prophecy. I said, the Lord will continue to wait until he gets that divine love in his body. And we are talking about divine love. If that is the divine love he's talking about, is this here is what we call the intangibles. The forgiving one another. The love, the enduring of the patience, the meekness, the long-suffering. Those are the ones he's looking for. That is much more important to him, that we make harmony in the household, to make harmony in the among the brethren, to make harmony in the among the even in the world, that divine love. We come to wait until we get that. And we are not ready yet. I'm telling you, the body of Christ is not ready yet. Because the devil is having his way into the household of faith. He's having his way into the individual family. He's having his way because we are not closing the gates at him. And if you keep letting the door open, the devil is winning by bringing all those quarreling, bringing all those fighting, bringing all those comforting, bringing all those things, and we say the Lord is coming soon. Let's keep waiting. But we can do something. We can look at the scripture, we can say, Lord, let this divine love start in my heart, in me. Touch me, Lord, so that I can reach, begin to demonstrate this love, that we love as the word of God said. That we love as the word of God says, let me not seek to be loved as to love. That's a song from somebody. Let me not be the one seeking that day. I want this fellow to love me. It's not showing love. Say, let me try to seek to love as the word of God says. I want to be able to show this love, show this long suffering, show this patience, show this bearing all things, hoping all things, enduring all things, so that the Lord can come for me. And say, well done. That is where I'm going to stop. I want us to pray for love, for that divine love. Let's stand up upon our feet. Let's just stand up and pray. Father, I plead the blood of Jesus. Father, I plead the blood of Jesus. Father, your word, you are the word, Lord. Apostle Paul saw that chapter there after he knew what was going on in Corinth, among the Corinthians. They were full of supernatural grace. Everybody wants to be somebody. Everybody wants the power to heal the sick, raise the dead, prophesy. Everybody wants to be great and this and that. And he says from the Holy Ghost that what is really going on that is causing conflict, confrontation, fighting, is because love is missing. So he stopped and said, I will tell you the perfect way. Though I speak with tongues of men, you can sing and sing and sing and sing and say, I'm praising the Lord. And yet, your heart is not ready to sing, to apologize when you know you are wrong. Your heart is not even ready to be humble enough. Look like you are humiliating yourself. If you apologize to your children when you know you have done something wrong, you have mistakenly mistreated the wrong person. All of those things is what humility does. So that is what we want to begin to pray for ourselves, Lord. Help me to show that divine love. Let my heart be tender, Lord Jesus. Touch me, Lord. Let my heart be tender. Let my spirit be meek. Christ said, I am meek and lowly. Father, we plead the blood of Jesus. We pray for ourselves right now, Lord. We commit our life to your hand afresh, Lord Jesus. We know, Lord Jesus, that you said you are coming soon. But you said it 2,000 years ago, or 2,000 years ago also. And they said, he is coming. And they said, we that are ready. The dead in Christ will rise forth, and we that remain will be coupled with them, and those people that are saying they are all gone. And this is our generation right now, Lord. We have been saying the Lord is coming for over 30 something years now, since we know about it. Father God, look at this, there's nobody move, no more promises about it anymore, because it looks like it's not coming in our generation. Are we ready? Lord Jesus Christ, we are praying, Lord, and we know what the readiness is. It is the love that will rapture the bride. Divine love, Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray, O Lord Jesus Christ, that you will touch our hearts right now, Lord. Because we need that divine love. Let it start from each household. Let it show between husband and wife, Lord Jesus Christ. Let it show between parents and children, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Let it make everybody to be meek and humble. To be everybody to be quiet, and also, Lord God, to be loving and to be lovable in the name of Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord Jesus Christ, to demonstrate your love one to another. In all the caring, in all the patience, in all the meekness, in all the forgiving, help us, Lord God, to demonstrate your love one to another, O Lord. Because then we can extend it to the household of faith, between brethren and brethren. Then we can show it that by this our men know that ye are my disciples, when ye have love one for another. Father, we are praying right now, Lord, because you actually just reminded me to read this prayer that you have prayed before you left. You told me to read this prayer. I'm going to read right now. John chapter 17. The Lord led me to this prayer this morning. I didn't know why. And I said, what I just want God to do is just read it. And I read this prayer, just the second, this John chapter 17 prayer that is prayed for the believers. And what did he pray about? Just a moment. Friends, reminder, pray I forgive alone, but for them also we shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou givest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Now the Lord repeated one, almost four times in that simple three chapter passage. And he did not pray that prayer. He said, we've got to remember prayer. That's what Jesus just said. When you know all those things, remember prayer will help you. Remember all those things you just mentioned. If the creator of the heavens and the earth pray the last prayer and saying, we may be one, we may be one, we may be one, we may be one, for his church, which is his church, we are members of this church, we better get it seriously. We better take that seriously. We better be like fools to do what he wanted us to do so that we can be one. We better humble ourselves and let this exhortation, let this divine love that is pointing out to us, let it be the guiding light, so that I cannot say, well, just yesterday I can give it, I don't know why I don't want to say this. Just yesterday, even in my own house, I was upset by something and so on, and I went outside to pray. As I went outside to pray, I feel like I went to pray and the Lord said, go inside and just hug your wife and so on. And it was, all I'm trying to point out is that sometimes your emotion doesn't want to do it. Why? Because you are feeling inside, you are feeling angry. But when you remember the word of God, you do what God says. Sometimes you have to do it contrary to your flesh. That's what I'm trying to point out. That is, when you feel like, I cannot do this, I cannot forgive that fellow. Oh, look at what he did to me, look at what she did. If you remember this, you may have to hide your pride and go say, I'm sorry, and go up. And those are what we are saying when we say, love is going to have to bear the love suffering, bear long and endure long. Sometimes you have to do it contrary to your emotions, contrary to your flesh, to just make sure you obey the word of God. That's what you are pointing out. To make sure you obey the word of God, with God to, God meant it when he prayed this prayer seriously. He's praying for his church, and it's the last prayer he was praying. Nobody ever recorded any prayer Christ prayed when he was on the mountain, but he prayed this one for them to hear. He meant it, brethren. He meant it, brethren. I mean, God meant business. So this is the heart of God. That's what I'm trying to say. The heart of God is that his household be one. as he and the Father are one. And look at what happened really after the church was started. The split came. Because God knew that the devil is against us. Before, with how many years, and they have the circumcision group and the uncircumcision group. That was a split. And then you know what happened? We have thousands of denominations since then. When God started, he was able to snap two people that were offending. Ananias and Sapphira, that was how God was meant business, that he wanted this thing pure. But he said, he has to move back, otherwise he's going to kill us all. Kind of step back. But he said, we are coming to the final end, where we want to come to that first church level. If we are going to come to that church level, let's come back to this word of God and begin to be a fool for Christ. Amen?
Amen.
I may feel like a fool for Christ. When I was hungry, my demon, all the thoughts were saying, no, you are going to be a fool if you go back and do that. I've got to go back and do that. If you say, go back and see yourself, go back and see yourself. If you know you are fine, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to, you're going to think I'm wrong. No, that is where the Bible is saying, be like a fool because of this word. God meant business. God is not joking. If you pray that prayer, he can take some people away if they are not going to obey him. Remember that. God is ready to take people out of this place if they are not going to yield to him. How many of our brethren have passed away since we started in 1970s? Think about it. Maybe many of you are younger and younger. Since the 70s, how many of them have passed away? Since the 70s. So let's think about that. God can take people away if they are not going to obey him. Let's take this thing seriously. And take the word of God seriously, what I'm saying. The word of the living God, let's take it seriously. Because God meant business at this end time is coming for his church that is without spot, without wrinkle, and blameless. But this is the way to get to it, the divine love way. The divine love way. And we've got to take that divine love seriously. Even if you're going to say, gee Lord, my emotions is saying no, but I'm going to do what the Bible says. My emotion is saying no, but I'm going to act as though I'm going to do what the scripture says. God say, as you say I'm sorry, I'll go and say I'm sorry. I won't say, I'm not sorry at all. No, I will say I'm sorry. Let's remember that. Father, we just thank you for this exhortation. We just commit ourselves to thy hand and give all of Jesus. Because we can talk forever, but all of those small things, these little foxes, Lord, we pray, Lord, we bind them, cast them away from us in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray for your word to sing to our hearts. We pray for your anointing to move us again, Lord Jesus Christ, to be obedient to your word, to make us to be humble again, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord Jesus Christ, in this way. This is a narrow road, the Bible says. It's not broad. It's not a broad way. Those who are in the broad road, they are going to the way to destruction. But this is a narrow road where we are not allowed to just do whatever we want to do. But we must line up with Jesus, who is the head of all principalities and powers. Father, so help us, Lord Jesus Christ, to line up with you and to walk in that narrow road, Lord Jesus Christ, because that is the way of peace. He said, I stand in the way and see, and look into that path, that old path, and walk ye therein in it, then you shall find the rest of your soul. Help us to see that path, that old path, that looks like old-fashioned way. He said, you better walk in it, because that is the way that he has made for us, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The questions later.
Is this the end of the message today?
No.
No. Okay.
Maybe one more. Two.
About two more. Okay. Let's say the name of the Lord.
Yeah, if people have questions, more questions, write those questions. Next week, I will actually address more of the questions.
Okay. Yeah. So, if you have more questions, you can write it and give it to Goran here. And he will be able to address some of those questions. Like me, I took time to write my own few minutes ago. So if you still have questions,